And now, a story from Kurt Vonnegut.
It was 2081, and everybody was finally equal. They weren't only equal before God and the law, they were equal in every which way.
Nobody was smarter than anybody else.
Nobody was better looking than anybody else.
Nobody was stronger or quicker than anybody else.
All this equality was due to the 211th, 212th, and 213th Amendments to the Constitution, and to the unceasing vigilance of agents of the United States Handicapper General. Some things about living still weren't quite right, though. April, for instance, still drove people crazy by not being springtime. And it was in that clammy month that the HG men took George and Hazel Bergeron's abnormal son, Harrison, away. It was tragic, all right, but George and Hazel couldn't think about it very hard. Hazel had a perfectly average intelligence.
Which meant she couldn't think about anything except in short bursts.
And George, while his intelligence was way above normal,
had a little mental handicap radio in his ear. He was required by law to wear it at all times. It was tuned to a government transmitter. Every 20 seconds or so, the transmitter would send out some sharp noise to keep people like George from taking unfair advantage of their brains. And this...
A buzzer sounded in George's head. His thoughts fled in panic like bandits from a burglar alarm.
That was a real pretty dance, that dance they just did.
Huh?
That dance. It was nice.
Yep.
George and Hazel were watching television.
There were tears in Hazel's cheeks, but she'd forgotten for the moment what they were about. On the television screen were ballerinas.
George tried to think a little about the ballerinas. They weren't really very good. No better than anyone else would have been anyway. They were burdened with sash weights and bags of birdshot, and their faces were masked so that no one, seeing a free and graceful gesture or a pretty face, would feel like something the cat drug in. George was toying with the vague notion that maybe dancers shouldn't be handicapped, but he didn't get very far with it before another noise in his ear radio scattered his thoughts.
George winced.
So did two of the eight ballerinas.
Oh!
Who collapsed to the studio floor. Having no mental handicap herself, Hazel had to ask George.
What was it?
Sounded like somebody hitting a milk bottle with a ball-peen hammer.
I think it would be real interesting hearing all the different sounds, all the things they think up. Only, if I were Handicapper General, you know what I would do?
Hazel, as a matter of fact, bore a strong resemblance to the Handicapper General, a woman named Diana Moon Glampers.
If I was Diana Moon Glampers, I'd have chimes on Sunday. Just chimes, kinda in honor of religion.
I could think if it was just chimes.
Well, maybe make them real loud. I think I'd make a good Handicapper General.
Good as anybody else.
Who knows better than I do what normal is.
Right.
He began to think glimmeringly about his abnormal son, Harrison, who is now in jail. But a 21-gun salute in his head stopped that.
Oh.
Boy, that was a doozy, wasn't it?
It was such a doozy that George was white and trembling and tears stood on the rims of his red eyes.
Why don't you stretch out on the sofa so's you can rest your handicapped bag on the pillows, honey bunch?
She was referring to the 47 pounds of birdshot in a canvas bag which was padlocked around George's neck.
Go on and rest the bag for a little while. I don't care if you're not equal to me for a while.
George weighed the bag with his hands.
I don't mind it. I don't notice it anymore. It's just a part of me.
You've been so tired lately. Kind of wore out. If there was just some way we could make a little hole in the bottom of the bag and just take out a few of them lead balls. Just a few.
2 years in prison and $2,000 fine for every ball I took out.
If you could just take a few out when you came home from work. I mean, you don't have to compete with anyone around here. You just sit around.
Well, if I tried to get away with it, then other people would get away with it. And pretty soon we'd be right back to the Dark Ages again, with everybody competing against everybody else. You wouldn't like that, would you?
I'd hate it.
There you are. The minute people start cheating on laws, what do you think happens to society?
I reckon it'd fall all apart.
What would?
Society. Wasn't that what you just said?
Who knows?
It wasn't clear at first as to what the news bulletin was about, since the announcer, like all announcers, had a serious speech impediment.
Ladies and... Shit.
That's all right, he tried. That's the big thing. He tried to do the best he could with what God gave him. He should get a nice raise for trying so hard.
He handed the bulletin to a ballerina to read. She must have been extraordinarily beautiful because the mask she wore was hideous. And it was easy to see that she was the strongest and most graceful of all the dancers, for her handicap bags were as big as those worn by 200-pound men.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Who does she think she is?
I apologize for my voice, which is a very unfair voice for a woman to use. Excuse me.
She began again, making her voice absolutely uncompetitive.
Harrison Bergeron has just escaped from jail, where he was held on suspicion of plotting to overthrow the government. He is a genius and an athlete, is under-handicapped, and should be regarded as extremely dangerous.
What are we going to do?
A police photograph of Harrison Bergeron was flashed on the screen, upside down, then sideways, upside down again, then right side up. He was exactly 7 feet tall. Nobody had ever borne heavier handicaps. He had outgrown hindrances faster than the HG men could think them up. Instead of a little ear radio for a mental handicap, he wore a tremendous pair of earphones and spectacles with thick, wavy glasses. Scrap metal was hung all over him. In the race of life, he carried 300 pounds. And to offset his good looks, the HG men required that he wear at all times a red rubber ball for a nose. The photograph of Harrison Bergeron on the screen jumped again and again, dancing to the tune of an earthquake.
My God, that must be Harrison.
The realization was blasted from George's mind instantly by the sound of an automobile collision in his head. And when George could open his eyes again, a living, breathing Harrison filled the screen.
I am the Emperor. Do you hear? I am the Emperor. Everybody must do what I say at once.
Clanking, clownish and huge, Harrison stood in the center of the studio. Ballerinas, technicians, musicians, and announcers cowered on their knees before him, expecting to die.
Even as I stand here, crippled, hobbled, sickened, I am a greater ruler than any man who ever lived. Now watch me become what I can become.
Harrison tore the straps of his handicap harness like wet tissue paper.
Tore straps guaranteed to support 5,000 pounds!
His scrap iron handicaps crashed to the floor!
Thrust his thumbs under the bar of the padlock that secured his head harness
The bar snapped like celery.
Harrison smashed his headphones and spectacles against the wall. He flung away his rubber ball nose.
And revealed a man that would have awed Thor, the god of thunder.
I shall now select my empress. Let the first woman who dares rise to her feet claim her mate and her throne.
A ballerina arose, swaying like a willow.
Harrison plucked the mental handicap from her ear, snapped off her physical handicaps with marvelous delicacy. Last of all, he removed her mask.
She was blindingly beautiful.
Now, shall we show the people the meaning of the word dance?
Music!
Harrison and his empress listened gravely, as though synchronizing their heartbeats with the music. They shifted their weight to their toes. Harrison placed his big hands on the girl's tiny waist, letting her sense the weightlessness that would soon be hers. And then, in an explosion of joy and grace, into the air they sprang.
Not only were the laws of the land abandoned, but the law of gravity and the laws of motion as well. They leaped like deer on the moon.
The studio ceiling was 30 feet high, but each leap brought the dancers closer to it. It became their obvious intention to kiss the ceiling.
They kissed it.
And then, neutralizing gravity with love and pure will, they remained suspended in air, inches below the ceiling, and they kissed each other for a long, long time. It was then that Diana Moon Glampers, the handicapper general, came into the studio with a double-barreled 10-gauge shotgun. She fired twice. And the Emperor and the Empress were dead before they hit the floor. Diana Moon Glampers loaded the gun again. She aimed it at the musicians.
You have 10 seconds to get your handicaps back on.
It was then that the Bergeron's television tube burned out.
Huh. TV's on the fritz, I guess, George. George?
But George had gone out into the kitchen. He came back in with a can of beer, paused while the handicap signal shook him up. And then he sat down again.
You've been crying?
Yep.
What about?
I forget. Something real sad on television.
What was it?
It's all kind of mixed up in my mind.
Forget sad things.
I always do.
That's my girl.
Gee, I could tell that one was a doozy.
You can say that again.
Gee, I could tell that one was a doozy.